Today's reading is from the book of Acts. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but I have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn and to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
So today is a Thanksgiving weekend. So I hope that all of you can take this time to thank the Lord for what he has given you in the last year, this whole year. So today we are going to look at, we're going to study Acts chapter 20, which is the kind of a farewell sermon by Paul the Apostle. And today we're going to look at his farewell sermons from verse 17 onward. But before verse 17, there's an interesting, I shouldn't say interesting, it's almost tragic accident that happened. It's really a famous accident. I shouldn't say it's a famous accident. There was a young man by the name of Atticus, fell to sleep during the sermon. So in the same chapter that we study today, verse 9, there was a young man named Eutychus sitting on the window sill, sinking into deep sleep as Paul kept on talking. And he was overcome by sleep and fell down from the third floor and was picked up dead. So from this incident, it's almost tragic, but you all know the ending of the story, that Paul saved him. But from this this incident, it reminds us that do not fall asleep in the sermon. So that's number one. And number two is don't preach long sermons. It's bad for your congregation. But then when I go on to read chapter verse 11, so after Paul picked up the boy and is alive, and he went back and continued to preach until daybreak. So maybe it is okay to have long sermon. But don't worry, we have the Cantonese sermon congregation that will be coming in. And then the third thing that I learned from this incident is don't sit close to the window. Otherwise, you may fall through the window. So that's why it's good to sit close to the center aisle. So if you fall to sleep, you will fall to the aisle, and then we'll pick you up safely. Right? So, but right now, almost all of you, except, I don't know, some people sitting over there, sitting at the center, at the front. So chapter 20 is Paul's farewell, famous farewell sermon. He finished his mission trips and then he's leaving Asia and going back to Jerusalem. He wanted to get back there as soon as possible. So he did not have much time, so he asked the leaders from Ephesus to meet him Miletus, and so that he can say a farewell. So this speech is really important. It also shine light on us, you know, how Paul sees the ministry should be. How should we serve in the church? And also we can learn a lot about the Apostle Paul himself. Verse 17 to 21, Paul shared about how he was serving them at Ephesus. Paul spent 3 years at Ephesus and in the other churches. So from verse 17 to 21, Paul shared about his past ministries. And then verse 22 to 27, Now he has to leave them. And Paul knew that the chance of he coming back is slim because he's going to face persecution. Now, of course, Paul may not know that he won't be able to come back, but when Luke wrote this, Luke, of course, know the ending of Paul. And then verse 28 to 35 is Paul's encouragement to the church leaders. Even though Paul was speaking, he keep using the term as a leaders, elders, but his speech and teaching is applicable to all of us here this morning. So Paul start off in verse 17. He's recapturing his ministry with them at least 3 years at Ephesus. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourself know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time. You know how I was like, because I was with you all the time, serving the Lord with all humility." The very first thing that Paul mentioned is we need to serve, like me, Paul said, with humility. This is probably the hardest thing for a leader to learn. Humility is scarce among leaders, especially in our Western culture. When I was young, the most famous boxer was Muhammad Ali. I guess people of our age would know. And Muhammad Ali was probably the greatest boxer of all time. And he said, "It is hard to be humble when you are as great as I am." Well, he's always well. He's not except the most humble boxer. We all know that. And when you're as good as me, right? He's a heavyweight, but when you watch him box, you can still see a lot of his bouts in YouTube. He just dances around like a welterweight, you know, even though it's a heavyweight. He's the greatest boxer of all time. So when you're as great as I am, it's hard to be humble. For us leaders today, sometimes it's hard to be humble because our culture won't allow us. We don't like to choose. Now we have an election coming up. We have voted 2 days ago. So I encourage all of you to fulfill your obligation as a citizen. If you can vote, go and vote. But when we work for leaders, we're always looking for a strong leader, isn't it? A leader that knows everything, that can win every debate. And we know about the U.S. Election, even more so. So our culture won't allow us to have humble leaders. So our culture will only make the leaders more proud. And the followers do not want humble leaders. They want leaders that can stand up and strong and be tough. And sometimes it is ourselves as leaders. When we serve well, when we do things well, when we can speak well, teach well, sing well, play piano well, and we tend to be proud inside ourselves. Especially when people say that, you know, you are so good in doing this and that, then we become proud of ourselves. Serving in the epistles, Paul many times called himself the servant, slave of the Lord. And the exact translation of the word, it is slave. Sometimes the Bible, some translation try to be more modest and use the word servant. But the word doulos, sometimes is translated as servant. It is actually doulos, means slave. So many times Paul called himself the slave of Jesus. So there's nothing for you to be proud of if you are a slave of the Master, Master Jesus. St. Augustine wrote, if you ask me what's the most essential element, you know, in teaching the morality of Jesus Christ, then I will answer you. The first is humility. The second is humility. And the third is humility. But yet humility is so difficult for us to learn, especially if you are good. So Paul reminded as he departs that we are to serve, especially leaders. He was speaking to leaders. But I think this applies to all of us. When we serve, we have to serve with humility. And then Paul move on and mention serving the Lord with all humility and with tears. Tears is not something that we want to talk about too much, especially for male. Right? It is just not cool for male brothers to shed tears and talk about tears. Right? We want to be strong. Right? Tears is weakness. And I saw this painting, a drawing, when I prepared a sermon, a farewell sermon from Paul. And Paul's hugging all these church leaders as they leave them. I see this compassion, love between Paul and his leaders and the leaders of the church. So Paul here is reminding also us to learn when we serve, we have to serve with compassion, with tears. We share the joy with people in celebration, like this morning, when we share with Pastor Ansik, Jessica, in celebration. So this afternoon, we also have celebration, but also we have to remember each other when they are in sorrow. So last week, I went to a funeral. So as a pastor, we go to weddings. We also go to officiate funerals. So we have to serve humility, compassion, and resilience. So there was a famous preacher, a pastor in Scotland by the name of Robert Murray Machaney. And when he was the minister in the Church of Scotland, and his church was really vibrant and also is a church of prayers. He has 39 prayer meetings. My goodness, 39 prayer meetings in his church. And many of them belong to the children. Five of them conducted by the children for children. So the children prayer meeting, I really want to see children prayer meetings. They will be they'll be encouraging, exciting. We should really teach the children to pray. So he was a famous pastor, preacher. So many tourists went to, Christian tourists went to his church to just see how he lead his church. So one time a group of tourists went to visit his church and he was not there. So the church deacons and showed the tourists, the visitors to Pastor Machaney's study room. He said that you kneel down here. This is where Pastor Machaney knelt. And put your hands together and then start weeping. This is what he did for his members. And then the deacon will take the visitors to the sanctuary, and then you stand up here, spread out your arm, and start weeping. This is what our pastor does when he preaches, weep for the people. So when we serve, we have to serve with love and compassion. Our church has a very thick handbook, a lot of pages. Yeah, we need handbooks, a church of our size, to guide us, but we be careful. The purpose of the church handbook is to help us to love each other more. So when we serve, we have to remember that. We have to share the joy, but also share the sorrows. And also we have to weep for the lost soul. We weep for brothers and sisters at church, but also we have to weep for the people who do not know Christ. For many walk of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Have we wept for the lost soul? We don't have that many newcomers at the Alpha Course. Alpha Course is for us to invite our friends, our families, colleagues to come, because they do not know Christ. Have you ever thought about them? I know that it's busy, church is busy already, we have lots of activities, but we love our church community. Like this morning, we show our love to Arlene, but we also need to do not forget about all those ones who are lost. We need to weep for them, pray for them, invite them to gospel meetings like Alpha, to the fellowships. So Paul weep not only for his own people inside the church, he also weep for people outside the church. So Paul reminded them, this is how I serve all these years among you. We must, Francis Schaeffer, a famous Christian writer, we must proclaim the message with tears and give it with love. And then Paul went on, there are three things Paul reminded the people, the leaders from Ephesus, that how he was serving among them with humility, tears, and the truth. But I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. I did not hide anything. So the church, I don't know how long I can serve here. Our aim is to preach the whole Bible. I'm sure I won't be able to do that. Maybe Ansip will carry on. They will take maybe the next, I don't know how many years. But the aim of the Bible, the church, is that we want to preach the whole Bible. And when someone asked me, now, how do you, and I met an elder from another church. So he asked me, he's a good friend of mine, so he asked me, how do you do your preaching? I said that we use expository preaching. That means we take a passage from the Bible, and then we analyze, we study it, and then we preach from the Bible. Not that I pick a title, and then I find the scriptures to support my topic. And sometimes we have to do that. Say, if it's a Christmas, so we find scriptures about Christmas to support our sermon. But most of the time, we use what we call expository preachings. So that's why sometimes when the worship team asks me, Pastor Norman, what's the topic of your next sermon, so that we can pick the songs, I say, I don't know, I'm still studying. I'm still studying the passage. I will preach whatever the passage is telling me to preach. It's not what I want to preach. So Paul said that, I do not hide anything. I tell you everything that I know from the truth. Nothing but the truth. It's like a lighthouse. So we should be like a lighthouse. Even though it may be dark out there, there may be storm, hurricane, but we will stay on. We'll preach the truth, which is not always popular. As a pastor preacher, I think we do sometimes have to debate within ourselves. If I say this, if I say this too often, too openly, would I upset some members? Some members always have the opportunity to shut off their ears, shut off their receivers, or they even don't skip your sermon and come next week. But Paul said that, I did not hide anything from you. I tell you everything, nothing but the truth. And now, So Paul said that for these years I spent with you, I struggled with humility. I love you with tears. And I proclaim the word of the Lord. And now I'm leaving you. I probably won't be coming back. Behold, bound by the Spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. So he knows that he may face persecutions or even death. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry. So Paul is leaving them now. So Paul is encouraging them, saying that I have to leave, I have to, but I will continue. I will not be here, but I'll continue to finish my ministry ahead of me, to finish my course, finish my ministry. So for each one of us, some of us are younger, some of us are more mature, but God has a course for each one of you to run. And I don't know what that is, but you should know. If you do not know, you should pray for God's guidance more. So for each one of us today, now here, we have to look at this course we have to run. We have to finish our course. We have to get to the finishing line. Don't give up. The COVID brought impacts to almost all the churches in the world, not just our church. Almost every pastor I talked to from other churches, they have been impacted by the COVID. Some people changed church, but that's okay. They find another church. Some people moved to here, you moved to there. If you don't like the church, I do not encourage that even though. But if you, at least you go to church. But many of the Christians drop out of church after COVID. They do not go and worship God anymore. It becomes a new routine for them. It is sad. We have to finish our course. There will be a lot of tribulation still coming. COVID is nothing when the bigger tribulations are coming. So Paul said, I have to finish my course, which I received from the Lord Jesus. Be on guard for yourself and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, you leaders, deacons, elders, Sunday school teachers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood, because I know that after my departure, savage wolves, these are not real coyotes, wolves, but these are the heresies, false teachings, not only from church, from outside, will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among you own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. So be on guard for yourself. The first thing is on guard for yourself first and not the others. On guard for yourself means you have to look after yourself before you look after others. We may be very busy at church here, helping Awana, serving others, leading this and leading that, even teaching Sunday school. We are helping many people to be alert, but yet we ourselves have to be careful. So you have to be on guard yourself first. Sometimes we may be very active in church, serving, but yet our spiritual life is not as good as the lessons that we are trying to teach. So when you find an airplane, there's always someone in the airplane will show you what happened if there's an emergency. When the oxygen mask dropped, what's the first thing you do? Put on the mask for your children first, for Abe first, for Alan, for your wife, for your husband first, because I love them. I want to make sure that I don't want to be selfish, right? No, you put on yourself first. Otherwise, no, even before you finish putting on your husband, no, you probably pass out. And when we took our first aid program, when we walk into a accident scene, the first thing we do is not to rescue the person, but to look around, make sure that you are safe first, right? You look up, you look down, make sure you're safe before you try to save someone else. So Paul said, be careful of yourself first before you care, look after the other people. And it is a very seldom, very often, this is the problem with some of us. We spend so much time helping others, serving in the church, even preparing materials for teaching Sunday school, teaching Awana, but yet ourselves, our spiritual life is dry, isn't it? We have nothing to, sometimes we have nothing to give. So Paul said, I sowed you that by working hard in this manner, in everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, meaning that he was doing it, he was showing what he teach through his life. It's easy for us to stand up here and prepare a sermon to preach, but we need to people not just look and listen to what we speak in Sunday school, Awana, but people also look at our life. So Paul telling them that, reminding that when we serve, we have to use our life. We serve with our life. You cannot give what you do not have. And that's why we have spiritual burnout. We try to give, so much, but yet we do not have much more to give. So we have a burnout. We keep giving, but we got nothing inside. So we need to look after ourselves first. I show you that by working hard in this manner. We serve with our life. You must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. The Apostle Paul is bringing some money to Jerusalem to help the poor mother church, that they're poor financially. So we want to thank them for their donations. Also want to encourage them to give. Giving is a topic, tithing, that pastors are sometimes very reluctant to preach because people do not like to hear about, to talk about money in church. But Paul here, the last thing he reminded them as he departed them is to give. To give is better to receive, because that's what Jesus did. He gave us his life, and by giving his life to us, then all of us can be blessed, can have salvation. There was a young man who moved to US from Italy by the name of Anthony Walsh. He came to America as a 21-year-old young man. When he first came to US, he did not speak any English, and he has not much education, no money. So he worked in a grocery store, but he wanted to become a farmer. And so he went to the library and studied how to become a farmer. So one day he noticed a book on the table entitled The Life of Christ. Rosie was raised up as a Catholic, but he knew little about Christ. But then he started reading this book, and then the next day he went and purchased a Bible. And then later on he became a Christian and joined the Methodist Church. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "No, if you give me an idea of a business, I will be faithful in my offering. I will return the blessings to you." So God helped him to start with a small orange juice company selling pressed orange juice. Slowly, the orange juice business gets bigger and bigger. And this is today, as we all know, the Tropicana. Almost every one of us will love to drink Tropicana orange juice. And he gave not just 10% to the church. He had been giving 50% of his income for 60 years to church organizations. So after, when he died, he donated $10 million to build a community for retired missionaries in Florida. So God blessed him greatly because he gave willingly. God bless him. So there's a famous saying by one of our alliance pastor: any temporal possession can be turned into everlasting wealth. Whatever is given to Christ is immediately touched with immortality. But Paul is not talking only about money, but Paul is also talking about our time, spared to give than to receive. There are many newcomers coming to our church, especially in the Cantonese. There are a lot of newcomers from Hong Kong because of this special program that the Canada government has provided to the Hong Kong people. So there are a lot of newcomers. And when they came here, they all are like shoppers. They're all shopping for a church. So you see them this morning, and the next morning, they'll be at another church. So they all go around. And thank the Lord, some of them came back here. Some of them end up in another church. But that's quite okay. But when we come to church, I will come here just to see what I can get from the church. If not, then I'll go to a better church. I can guarantee you that there's a better church somewhere out there. There's a better pastor, a better preacher. But do we come to church just to see how much you can squeeze, get out of this? If not, then I go to two churches. I can pick this and that. So why did I pick this church? I became a Christian when I was in UBC, when I was studying UBC. So I met some Christians at school. So they led me to Christ. So in those days, there are not that many Chinese churches in Vancouver. So they showed me two, there are less than 10 Chinese churches in Vancouver. So they showed me, they led me to two churches and let me decide which one I want to go. So I just say that this church A and church B. So I went to church A, and when I went to the fellowship, it's a terrible fellowship. Nobody talked to me there for the whole evening. So when they say the welcome song, they don't even shake my hand. So I spent the whole night there lonely by myself. So I went to the worship, and then nobody talked to me. This is not a church I like. So I went to this other church just for the sake of, I say labeling as church B. I went there on Friday night, and then the senior pastor was there. Friday night, wow, how many churches you will see the senior pastor at the church Friday night, except ECAC. I said, and he remembered my name. My goodness, he saw me the next week. I said, hi, Norman, how are you doing? I was so impressed. So I went to fellowship. Everybody hugged me and shook hands. I said, this is it. I want to join this church, Church B. And then I was preparing to join the Church B. And then I read an article on a magazine. And it said that when you pick a church, don't just pick one church. Pick a church that what you can get the most out of it. Find a church that you can contribute. You can serve. You can change. Then I decided to go to this church A. I mean, this church, I want to change this church. I didn't want to change this church. I want to change this fellowship. I mean, I'm not that ambitious. I want to change this fellowship. I want to make this church more, this fellowship from church A, more lively, more embracing, more loving. So I decided to join this church A. It's not because I want to change the church, but I want to change this fellowship. So the church A is Alliance, which is where I'm here today. B, I don't want to say what B stands for. So I joined it. So my goal at that time was just to, I want to contribute to this fellowship. And then I'm still here today. I'm still trying to to contribute. So I think Paul meant here better to give than to receive. Come to the church and think, what can I contribute to this community today, this month, this year? So I think that's what Paul is trying to teach us. So Paul reminded us, he served with humility, tears, but then with the gospel, no compromising. It may sound soft, right? From today's political perspective, he's a soft leader, tears, humility. But then when it comes to the gospel, he's strong, no compromising. It's clear on the course that he's trying to finish. He wants to use his life as a life model, life teaching. It's better to give than to receive. Let's pray. Father, help all of us this morning to reflect on our ministry, how we serve. May we continue to serve with humility, and may we continue to serve others. May we continue to see what can we help others. And when everyone is thinking that way, we will be blessed by the ministry from everybody else. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.